the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We are live and mobile at Listen Live on our website. If you just punch that Listen Live button, we are live and mobile on TuneIn. And on Monday, the 17th of March, that is this coming Monday, we are going to be a totally web-based radio show. Why? A lot of people ask me why. And it's a very, very simple answer. That's where the money is. That's where we've made our money. That's where we have made our money for the last 7, 8, 9 years. That is a, and it's a direct to the consumer model. I can talk directly to, I can advertise to, I can market to, I can communicate directly to the people that will be users of our product. That is the Phil Hendry Show. And it has been the web where the money has been made. You know, radio is not a place to make money anymore. I personally believe it's a simple question, not so much of the technology or the platform or the medium itself being outdated. It is a question of the lack of talent at the managerial, sales, and marketing level in radio. I mean that. So you can take any one of the big individual names that you would care to mention in the broadcasting business and single them out and say, well, that's a guy who's got no talent for marketing, selling, or making radio successful.
Well, are you talking about the big, big names that run the big companies?
Yes, yes, because even if they are running the big companies, Clear Channel is $500 million in debt. They have no choice. They're going to have to sell radio stations. I don't know what Cumulus is about, but I've heard the brain trust at Cumulus quoted. I've read their interviews. I've seen the things they've had to say. And you can't make head nor tail out of what these guys, I don't even think they know what it is they're talking about. I've read the commentary. By the way, can I just tell you the greatest irony of all?
Now, Phil, hold on for a minute. You're walking down Crap Can Avenue. You know that, don't you?
Yes, just say that, General. Going down Crap Can Avenue.
What do you mean I'm going down Crap Can Avenue? What does that mean?
You know full well.
Phil, you're going down Crap Can Avenue and the chain broke.
Yeah, son, you gotta watch out.
What does that mean, Crap Can? You mean I'm talking some smack here that I shouldn't be talking?
You got it, my friend. You're taking on some of the biggest names in radio.
What are they gonna do, man? What are they gonna do to me? Are they going to, what? I mean, they've already basically told me, no, we can't sell you. We can't, you know, your show is far too strange for anything that we got going on in radio. No, we don't do that in radio, Phil. We're doing news talk. We're doing We Hate Obama and Sports. We Hate Obama and Sports. We Hate Obama and Sports. That's what we're doing. And that's what we're doing. And that's what we're doing. And then we're also playing a lot of bad music. And that's, you know, but here, I got to tell you this. You're going to love this.
Well, I just think you're going down Crap Can Boulevard and it's intersecting and take it up, you know.
You have to hear the general out, Phil, because he's making a very good point.
All right.
You're walking down Crap Can Avenue right to the intersection of Take It in the...
Yeah. Take It Up the... That thing.
Take It Up the what?
Street.
Take It Up the street?
No, I can't. It's Crap Can Avenue, and it's inter... Hold on, Phil. Let me get the... Here. Here's a map. Now, you see that...
You don't have to show me Crap Can Avenue's intersection. What are you talking about, man?
You're just going places, Phil. And where you're going, my friend, there's no coming back.
General, I don't think you understand my business, okay?
I know what it is to have a very formidable adversary.
They're not adversaries. They're not adversaries at all. I understand my business. That's all. I understand what's happening in my business. Look, I got to go. I got no choice. I got to go where I can make a living. Would you not agree with that?
Well, yes, I would agree with it, but you don't want to go to Take It Up the you-know-what street after having...
Well, these images of Take It Up the you-know-what street, and I was just on Crap Can Boulevard.
Yeah, go to the intersection.
You're going to the intersection of those two.
What does that mean, I'm going to the intersection?
Well, what do you think it means? If you're going down Crap Can Avenue at the intersection of Take It Up the you-know-what, and that doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
Look at him laughing. Do you love that?
Phil, you're laughing, and this is your future we're talking about.
Well, if you're talking about my future, I guess I'm losing it. You know, I'm losing my future. I don't understand what you're saying. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to piss anybody off. I'm not trying to say anything that's bad. I'm just saying to you that I am, I know where the Phil Hendry Show does its best work, and I know where we do our best business, and I know I know where the future lies for us. Not maybe for the rest of anybody else doing anything, but I know where it lies for us. The things we're involved in right now is where we should be going. You ask me, why are we no longer on the terrestrial platform? Because we can't do this show there. They won't promote it. They won't market it. They won't affiliate it. They won't sell. There's no, and I'm going to say this, and you may not like what I'm going to say, but they've taken a lot of these managerial types have delighted over the years in talking about talent. Well, I'm going to talk about talent now. There's no talent in radio at the programming, managerial, or executive level.
Oh, my God. He just did it, General.
There, right there. You just hit the intersection of taking up the you-know-what.
But yeah, you hit the intersection there.
And it's a red light, my friend.
All right. There's no talent for actually marketing, selling, managing, and programming radio in radio today. None. It's gone. And so we're going where we're going now.
And by the way, you're being heard on radio stations right now.
Well, the radio stations we're on, I think, have got, they got a little more intestinal fortitude than most, and they can take the truth when they hear it. Now, and they most likely have the single most talented programming people around. Now, here's the irony of ironies. Wait till you hear this. You're going to love this. I get more questions from people about Sirius XM. When's your show going to be on Sirius XM? Why isn't your show on Sirius XM? This, that. Sirius XM is like any other radio station. It's like any other, it may be satellite, but it's run by people that have a terrestrial radio mindset. It's got programming people that, some of them got some programming experience in radio. Some of them are from the movie business. But they're all the same kind of conservative thinkers that they got in terrestrial radio. Now, I've had this ongoing conversation with these guys at Sirius XM. I had Ron Hartenbaum working with me, and Ron was having conversations, okay? Nothing happening over there. There's no money there, for starters. There is absolutely no money there for people that work on the air. Sirius XM gets, and I got to hand it to them, they get a subscription dollar out of their consumer, and they run advertising on some of the channels. They don't pay their talent anything. They, apparently, they're driving town cars all over the place, at least the executives are, to go to lunch, so I don't know what that's about. But here, let me just give you the news here. When it comes to having my show on their channel, we can't get started with these guys, but there isn't a day that goes by that I don't get a phone call from their telemarketers, and today I just got something in the mail because I bought a car, and with my car, I get a Sirius XM subscription. Did you know that?
Oh, and they're trying to sell you a subscription.
They're trying to sell me a subscription. So I had to call Ron up and say, Ron, these guys are calling me all the time. He'd probably say, wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, do you want a subscription to Sirius XM, man? Because that's what they're trying to sell me.
So these clowns aren't, that's why they're calling?
That's why they're calling me, yeah. I ought to take the call. I should have taken the call. I saw the call come in twice, and I said, I don't know what the hell this call is, man. And then I checked the number, and it was a Sirius XM telemarketing number. So they got telemarketers that work there. So these guys, folks... have a way of doing business. They're doing the exact, they're in the same business I'm in. They're in the same, Sirius XM is in the exact same business I'm in, except they're bigger. They're in the business of getting subscription dollars. And if the subscription dollars are not enough, they do something one step further than Phil Hendry is willing to go. They go out and they get advertisers. They don't give a damn whether you're a subscriber or not. You're a subscriber? Great. You're going to have to listen to this commercial anyway. And then when that money is fine, but then they even go further than that. They've got telemarketers that are going to call you up and actively seek your business. Whereas, for instance, we simply, rather passively, I think, promote on Facebook. We promote on social media. We promote on our website. And we also buy Google AdSense and things like that. So they're in the exact same business that I'm in. And I thought it was pretty funny that not only was I getting calls from them, but today I got an envelope from them.
You want to bring it in and open it up and read it?
What I ought to do and what I will do if I ever get another call from them is I will record the damn thing.
You ought to pretend like you're someone else, like you used to do, and just go, hey, yeah, hi. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
Well, don't blow it off, Phil. It sounds like it might be fun.
Yeah, it'd be fun. All right. So that and that and that and that. All right. Let's get into our good friends. And I'm not trying to be glib, folks. At Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. You know, they've got a lot of information has come about since last night. Information on who these guys were with the fake passports. Information on where the plane actually was traveling. Information on the last messages they received. Information on where they are searching out. Lots of new stuff. We're going to find out what it is, and we'll be back and talk at you about that stuff real soon. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and of course we're online at philhenryshow.com with our Listen Live. Our Listen Live feature, and it's available mobile, too. So check out our mobile site and listen to the show right now. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Don't forget the 17th. That's the day we are a fully webitized show. And get a subscription to our Backstage Pass. See, you know, I was talking about SiriusXM. If you subscribe to SiriusXM, you got all these different shows. But with a subscription to our website, God, look at that. That's it's all messed up.
It's because it's yellow.
Yeah. You get over 5,000 hours, probably close to 10,000 hours of audio from Phil Henry shows of yore. And there are two subscription tiers, one for our full access, including video casts, and the other audio only. Now, yeah, I've got this yellow sheet here. I was showing the viewers of Phil TV tonight, and you can see, guys, there is the yellow correspondence I got from SiriusXM. Now, here, like I said, this is a company that my partner, Ron Hartenbaum, was in communication with to see if we could get our show over there. And when he first said to me, you know, because Ron does business with SiriusXM, and he has shows that are over there. He's got, I think, Stephanie Miller is there.
Yes, you were saying Stephanie Miller and the other man, God, what's his name?
I don't know. Smirkin.
Yeah, Michael Spurglin.
Michael Smirkanish Spurglin.
Well, the name is unusual, Phil.
All right. Anyway, I said to him, well, I don't know, man, because, look, we are a subscription model. And I'm going to be on SiriusXM asking people to subscribe to my website, and they've already paid one subscription price to listen to Sirius. And he said, well, you know, Ron's a good guy, but you always know when you're talking to anybody, no matter who they are, if they're a business partner, if they're just a friend, if you're just talking sports, whatever, you always know you've made a point that it's a little tough for them to sort of climb over, but they're going to do it. And one thing about good salesmen is they never stop talking. You know, they just keep on.
Well, what are you saying? That this guy, Ron, was motor mouthing it?
No. He was trying to tell me, no, that's cool. I understand. But you see, anyway. While that's going on, I get a letter here from SiriusXM to be a subscriber. Dear Philip Hendry, in a few days, the SiriusXM trial subscription that came with your new vehicle will expire. You must act quickly to avoid disruption of your satellite radio service. I haven't listened to it once.
Well, did you know you had it?
Oh, yeah, I knew I had it, but I didn't.
Well, why didn't you at least sample it?
Well, I don't care, man. I don't care. See, I'm in the radio business. It's not like I'm a regular radio consumer, so it's not the same thing. I'm not going to use radio and use things that are offered to me in terms of radio the same way. It's fast and easy to continue your Sirius Select service and find out more about our subscription plan, monthly subscription. Well, look at this. Their monthly subscription is way more expensive, you know.
How much is it?
It's $14.99. They have a quarterly subscription, and then they have an annual that's $164 with 1 month that's free. Now, they were, at one time, SiriusXM was selling, I thought, and everybody was laughing about this because it sounded to me like they were in very desperate straits. They were selling lifetime subscriptions. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard about that. That's back when the company's going to go bankrupt and everything.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not. Subscribe online at SiriusXM or call, and don't miss a minute of all the music, sports, news, talk, and entertainment you can only find on SiriusXM. There are no cancellation fees, and if you subscribe now, we'll waive the $15. Look at that. They get you coming and going with this thing, man.
Well, what do they got?
They have, first of all, what they do, this is, I mean, we could probably learn some lessons from that. I wouldn't do any of this stuff because they've got a reactivation fee. So if your subscription lapses, You have to pay $15 to reactivate it. They have, like I said, they have advertising they're making money with, as well as the subscription fee itself. They have a quarterly subscription fee, as well as an annual. So they don't even have a half a year.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, what it means is they're charging a quarterly fee. They probably make more on the quarterly fees than they do on a 6 month.
Oh, absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. They're doing it every which way they can. And the way they do it, and the way I think they've been able to do it, is that they've invested heavily in these ancillary programs around the Howards and the Opie and Anthonys. They've got a core of talk radio programs that are strictly political. They have Opie and Anthony and Howard, which are kind of their morning drive offerings. And then they have, you know, whatever the hell else they've got. I don't know. But, you know, the working conditions of that place, and I've heard the Opie and Anthony saying this, and I've heard Howard say it. It's the place is strictly from hunger. They don't like it. They don't like the money they're making. They don't like the environment. They don't like anything about it. So, I don't know.
Well, you know something? A guy can swallow a whole lot of bad working environment for the right kind of money. Let me tell you what.
Yeah, a guy can take a lot for the right kind of money.
Oh, yeah? Well, why don't you see me after the show here, bud?
Oh, my God.
Get it perverted.
I'm kidding.
All right, bud. Hey, bud, see me after the show, man. We'll see what you can take.
Yeah, you wish.
No.
All right, enough of that disgusting talk. Okay, the Phil Henry Show. Now, what happened last night, you know, when we last left you, Art Griego was talking to us. Do we have another airline expert to talk to?
Well, we're fresh out of airline experts and everything. Jay Sandals, Citizens Auxiliary Police, are going to check in, though, on the search protocol and everything like that.
This guy, Sandals.
You know, we'll find out from Jay.
Well, this guy, you're talking about Jay Sandals, the knucklehead that, oh, baby, that guy I want to kill every time I hear him.
Well, Jay has the Citizens Auxiliary Police. They've done searches before.
What searches has that bonehead done? That man walks around the neighborhood at wig tips with the pork pie hat.
Not a pork pie hat. It's a pith helmet.
Oh, excuse me. I got that wrong. I'm sorry, Mr. Sandals. I thought you wore a pork pie hat. He walks... Well, what is he wearing?
Yeah, he does walk with a pork pie hat.
No, he doesn't wear a pork pie hat. Why don't you get it right?
What difference does it make?
It makes a difference so that at least we know how to identify the guy.
You had a program on with a man with a pork pie hat and lederhosen.
That was the guy playing the Bavarian slap dance music. What are you talking about?
Well, Phil, the problem is you and some of these weird asses that you get on the program. You've got to really begin to streamline this thing and filter out some of this weirdness that keeps getting through you've got to sift it better.
Yeah, okay. Whatever you say there, General, I got to filter out the weird asses. If I did that, nobody'd be working here except me.
Not funny.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a look and see what we can see, said the little brown duck man. Now, you know that this has been an oddball, not an oddball story, but it's such a tragic story. Malaysia's Air Force now is reporting, and again, we are looking here. Malaysia's Air Force denies saying the jet tracked to Malacca. These are all these rumors that the Malaysian government, the Malaysia Air Force, is having to put down. The most recent being the chief of the Malaysian Air Force denied saying that Flight 370 was tracked as deviating from its path into the Malacca Strait, adding to the confusion surrounding the search for the missing plane, which entered its fifth day. Now, this was what I heard last night, and I heard a number of networks, not networks, I was actually reading this on Google News. One of them, the Bloomberg site, another was ABC, making these statements about the plane deviating. Now the head of Malaysia's Air Force is saying he never said that. It would not be appropriate for the Royal Malaysian Air Force to issue any official conclusions as to the aircraft's flight path until a high amount of certainty and verification is achieved, said General Razdala Daud in an email statement. I did not make any such comment. He said, referring to a Barita Harian newspaper report that he had cited him as saying an airbase detected, yada, yada, yada.
What's going on down there? I'm a newspaper reporter, and I know the protocol. You must get verification. You also have to cite two sources. Then you call your editor on a payphone, and only on a payphone, and you say, Chief, and these, what are you looking at?
What do you mean you call them on a payphone? What are you talking about, Margaret?
When you're a reporter, you will not anymore, but you'd go to a payphone, and you'd say, listen, and listen good. I'm only going to say this once. Did you get that? Well...
Yeah, okay. What are we, in a 1943 movie or something?
I'm just telling you, they're doing it all wrong down there. Any guy that's got a name with that many syllables, you've seen these names, haven't you?
Yeah, all right. I have to take a break, Margaret.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, because I got to take a break, and I have to at least, you know, get a breath of fresh air myself after what I just heard you say. How about that?
Oh, you're jealous.
That's right, Margaret. We're jealous of you and your payphone and your... All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is Rock and Roll Hoochie-Coo by Rick Derringer.
No, it isn't. It's not Rick Derringer, no.
It's not Rick's Derringer? What did you say?
It's not Rick Derringer.
Yes, it is. Oh, get a load of Henry. Yes, it is, Phil.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Well, who is it?
Johnny Winter.
Oh, big.
Yeah, that guy's an albino.
I don't give a damn if he's an albino. What's that got to do with anything?
Well, why are you playing... And Johnny, if you're listening, I love your music, but it's weird for you to play an albino.
Why are you playing the albino? What is it with you guys and I'm playing the albino? It's just unusual for you to select the albino over a man with normal pigment. You know, you're starting to sound like a racist.
No, that's not racism, because an albino is not a race. An albino is a subset of...
Yeah, an albino is...
Let's not start. Yeah, you know what? Hold on. Turn that down, will you, bud?
Turn what down? Rick Derringer?
Get that... Thank you, Rick Derringer. That's Johnny Winter.
All right.
And what do you mean, why did I choose the albino over a guy with normal pigment?
I'm just wondering. The other version by Rick Derringer.
Rick Derringer.
All right, Rick Derringer. Jeez.
Yeah, I know, General. He gets like this late in the evening.
Yeah, I know. I get like this. I'm such an unreasonable guy. Imagine me playing the albino over a guy with a...
Well, the normal ping skidment...
What do you mean? Are you talking about skid marks?
You mean the normal skin pigment?
That's what I said.
No, you said the normal ping skidment.
That's why I thought you were talking about...
You're talking about streaking.
No, I'm not talking about streaking. What?
He's talking about normal skin pigment.
Well, don't get into my ear. Well, thank you, Phil.
Oh, ow, my ear.
Well, how does it feel?
Dad.
What are you doing?
You did the same thing to me.
All right, listen, everybody calm down before I kick ass. I played that version because I like that version. I like Rick Derringer's version, too. But I happen to like Johnny Winter. And if it push comes to shove, General, hold on. Hold on. If push comes to shove and I have an option of playing the albino against another guy with normal skin pigment, I may just play the albino. Not because he's got the albino, but...
When did he come down with albino?
What do you mean, when did he come down with albino? Oh, man.
Don't come down with it, man.
You know something, bud? That's really cruel. It's really cruel, you know? Be like me talking about, when did you get that hole in your head?
I got a motorcycle.
See, Bud doesn't have a problem answering that.
Yeah, and I could get personal with you too, Margaret.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, boy, don't go there, Phil.
No, I could. If you want to start talking albino...
Phil, I was being respectful. I said, when did you all of a sudden start getting... When did you become an albino lover? Where are you going?
I'm not going. I'm just, you know. When did I become an albino lover?
Yeah.
All right. Johnny Winter, a great, great, great guitar player and one of my all-time favorites. In fact, when I was a young high schooler and I was so much into music in those days, back then you had that was the heyday of the Guitar Hero. You've probably heard of the whole Guitar Hero era.
Not really, no.
Well, yes, you have. Where the guys...
talking about the guitar solo act. We saw... In Vietnam, we saw the guy that was the... What do you want to call him? He played for Elvis. Scotty what? Scotty Moore?
Yeah, you saw him?
Well, no. I heard a guy had a couple of records, though. And we would sit around.
Where'd you stay on the USO?
On the USO tour, we saw Bob Hope and the Playboy Bunny and Glenn Campbell. It was wonderful.
That's great.
Well, what do you... Oh, look at you. You think you're all that in a bag of pork rinds because you saw Bob Zeppelin, you know.
It's not Bob Zeppelin.
Well, whoever he saw.
I saw Led Zeppelin. All right,
but Led Zeppelin wasn't going to play the USO tour, so what do you want from me?
I know. That was a bad time, you know. That was a bad time. Imagine all those guys in Vietnam, and there was so much music I bet you they would have liked to have seen on those USO tours, but in those days, everything was so politically skewed, you know.
Yeah, so we're stuck with Glenn Campbell and the Grassroots, and you're going off to see the Bob Zeppelin show.
It ain't Bob Zeppelin. I know that...
We talk about Bob Zeppelin.
All right, I've got it wrong, okay? Anything else I got wrong? God. Who's the guy that did Like a Rolling Stone?
Bob Dylan.
Well, all right.
It was Led Zeppelin, General.
Okay.
All right, so where was I? I've completely spaced out. No, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, General. But Johnny Winter, I loved him. And so the Guitar Hero, that's what we're going to say. And at that time, and I'm not kidding you, the greatest guitar players on earth, in my generation, considered these guys at one time. There was about a 2-year period where these were the best guitar players we knew. Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, Mike Bloomfield, Johnny Winter, Alvin Lee. Those five, I take it back, Carlos Santana would be six.
Well, you could keep on going, Phil.
No, you could not keep on going. Those guys were considered to be head and shoulders above everybody else. Santana, Winter, Alvin Lee, Clapton.
And Jimi Hendrix.
And of course, Hendrix was considered to be head and shoulders above those guys. But it depended upon the kind of music that you liked.
Well, I think Jimi Hendrix, with all of the what do you call that kind of music?
You did a lot of feedback.
Feedback?
Yeah, he did a lot of that real, just ear-splitting, weird, and I thought that was very inventive and very clever, the things that he did. How does it go? It goes, like that?
Yeah, it's feedback. God, Margaret.
Did I do it good?
Yeah, it hurt me.
Okay, so those guys were considered to be the top-notch guys, and then who
after them?
Oh, I don't, you know, I mean, guitar players come along and become, Jimmy Page, but...
No, you didn't say Jimmy Page. Why not him?
I'm just talking about musicians that I knew. Nobody put Jimmy Page up there with those guys, because Jimmy Page was a good guitar player, but he was not on a level with those guys that I just mentioned. He was a great... I think he was an inventive guy. And God knows, like Hendrix, he got sounds out of the guitar that people never got before. But he wasn't a guy that I don't think anybody considered Jimmy Page to be a proficient player on a level with the rest of those guys. I'm telling you right now, and I'm just quoting guitar players that I knew. And these were all guys that admired cats like, you know, it doesn't get any better than Bloomfield and Clapton and Hendrix and guys like that. So for these guys to say, well, yeah, Jimmy Page is good, but he was not as good. He was not a great...
Well, what about... I don't know anything about them.
You ought to get...
Get Doubter on the phone, will you?
Who?
Jeff Doubter, will you?
Yeah, okay.
You ought to list them 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, whatever you do, huh?
No, I don't want to do that. Get Doubter, and Jeff Doubter's with the band Dark Horse in the South Bay, and he gigs along with his band on Friday and Saturday nights there, Mr. Poos. And what we'll do is just get an opinion from him on, you know, the relative strength of these guitar players, because I don't feel like I'm qualified, you know what I mean, to talk about this. I'm not a musician. Are you in the bathtub?
Yeah, Phil. I just came in for Mr. Poos. We had practice tonight. I'm drawing a bath.
Okay.
How many people... are baths all of a sudden very big in your generation, or just...
Well, he's not the only one. I heard the Dooley woman.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people taking baths on this show, Jeff. That's why I was curious as to you taking the bath. But I wanted to ask you a couple of questions here, man. First of all, how many guitar players are there in your band?
Well, right now we have 1, 2... three. We have three guitar players because we're going to travel with one guitar player, and right now we want to see how good they are. So we got three guitar players.
You mean you're going to go out on tour or something?
Yeah, we're going to go on tour. So right now we have three guitar players at Mr. Pooh, and then we're going to have one guitar player when we go, for instance, start gigging with Mrs. Pooh in Phoenix, and then we go to the Pooh Twins, which is another club in Houston, and then Daddy Pooh and Mommy Pooh.
Whoa, what is this? Are these...
What are you talking about, Daddy Pooh?
What?
What are these places?
What do you mean, what are these places? These are places we're going to be gigging. But when we go on tour this summer, we're going to probably be... We'll start out at Mr. Pooh's, but by the time we hit the road...
No, hold on. What?
How much water are you putting in that tub, Jeff?
I'm just drawing a bath.
I know you're drawing a bath, man. I can hear that. You're playing how many gigs?
We're going to go out, and we're going to tour probably the Southwest and Southeast. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Man. It was a tough gig, Mr. Henry. So there's nothing like sitting in a nice hot tub.
No, I think a hot tub's great. I'm asking you about these clubs. Where are you playing after Mr. Pooh's?
Now, then we're going to Phoenix to Mrs. Pooh's, and then we're going to Daddy Pooh's, which is in Albuquerque or Albuquerque. Have you heard about this?
Albuquerque?
I don't know. And then we're going to, look at this, bubble bath is out. Then we're going to go to El Paso, and that's the Pooh Twins. And then we go to Grandma Pooh's.
What is it with the Pooh thing, man? How many different places named Pooh's?
Oh, it's owned by the same guy. These are all his clubs. And
I see. So this is a chain.
Well, no, it's not a chain. They're individual different clubs with different atmospheres and different music. Like, for instance, one is a German restaurant, and another one, I think the Pooh Twins, that's the German restaurant, and then Daddy Pooh and Mommy Pooh, that's in New Orleans. And as you might imagine, it being in New Orleans, it may have a New Orleans theme, or it might be about vampires. I don't know what it is. And
what do you mean vampires?
I'm sorry.
What do you mean what is that, vampires?
Well, I mean that seems to be the motif in New Orleans is a vampire. You know. Let me get a little more hot water because we're out of bubble bath, so I got to.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Well, are you being sarcasm or something?
Hold on for a minute, will you?
Why are you irritated?
I can't hear the guy. He's got the tub. He's out of bubble bath. Now he's telling me he's playing.
I know Jerry Chesmont, who owns Mr. Pooh's down there, and I know he's a real squirrel from way back. I knew him because I went to high school with him.
Oh, you know the guy that owns this club?
Oh, yeah, I know him. And he and a bunch of... Chesmont used to run with Tommy, the Butler brothers, and Tommy Pasoda. And they were just a squirrel pack, and these guys they ran together, and we'd say, you know, watch it, the squirrels are running at midnight, and it meant that, Tommy Chesbot and the Butler brothers and Tommy Pasoda, you know.
You mean Jack Chesbot.
Who did I say?
You said Tommy.
No, Tommy Pasoda.
All right, that's fine. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know who these guys are that you're talking about.
Well, you asked me who they were, and I'm telling you, the squirrels run at midnight.
All right, the squirrels are running. We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, talking with Jeff Dowder. What was that?
No.
Talking with Jeff Dowder about the, great guitar players. They've got three guitar players in Dark Horse. The Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. I was going to call myself Will Hendry. What's that?
Well, you thought this was Willie and the Hand Jive, and it's not. It's Headhunter. What a jackpot.
This is Headhunter. It ain't Willie and the Hand. Anyway, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show.
Who's this guitar? Is this Jeff Beck?
This ain't Jeff. Are you nuts or something?
He's being a smartass.
Look, don't mess around, bud, because you're going to piss some people off here. Jeff Beck.
Jeff Beck, that's a guy that Nikki just reminded me of. You know, I'm sorry I missed... Jeff Beck was a great one, too. But for some reason, you never put Jeff Beck in that group because he was... He was different, man. He was a solo act, even though he did have a band, and he did have... It was his band that Rod Stewart started in. But you never really identified him as standing on a stage surrounded by a band of other guy. I don't know, you know.
Well, look, Phil, you're a guy that goes with the albino, and...
You knock it off with the albino thing. All right, Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. So Jeff Dowder on the line with us as we're talking with him from Temple City tonight. Jeff is... Hey, Jeff, did you just turn the tub on, man, just to... Jeff?
No, I do need to heat it up. I do need to heat it up.
I want to get back to this Mr. Pooh nonsense.
Oh, that's the guy.
No, I know that because I know Jack Chesbro. By the way, there was another Jack Chesbro. There was a pitcher for the New York Giants, Phil, way back, you know.
What are you talking about, a pitcher? You mean a quarterback?
No, a pitcher. The New York Giants, were a baseball team.
No.
Yeah, not the ones that play football, the ones that play baseball, for God's sake.
There was the San Francisco Giants used to be in New York, bud.
When?
Before 1958. They moved to San Francisco then.
Oh, bud, would you just shut up and listen? The San Francisco Giants are the New York Giants, only they're in San Francisco now.
Why aren't they called the San Francisco Giants then?
They are called the San Francisco Giants.
Oh.
God. They started in New York. So, and what, Jack Chesbro?
Yo, Jack Chesbro, that was another. But now Chesbro and Tommy Pasota and the Butler brothers, these guys were squirrels from way back, and we all went to the same senior class together over here at Monrovia High School. Now, thank God I wasn't in the same class with some of these other nuts like this. What's the nut that was, the Manson nut? You know who that was, Phil?
Leslie Van Houten.
Well, there Leslie Van Houten. Now, that woman was, she was cuckoo from way back. But anyway, one night, the Butler brothers and Pasota and Chesbro, they're screaming down Foothill Boulevard in Tommy Butler's dad's convertible Lincoln Continental, and they're going like a bat out of hell. And anyway...
Is this going to take long? Because I want to talk about...
Why don't you just cool your jets there, bathtub boy? I'm telling a story here, all right?
Just hold on. Go ahead.
So anyway, there, Tommy Butler got his old man's Lincoln Continental, and we're doing, I wasn't in the car. They're doing like a bat out of hell. Well, anyway, they hit a bump, and then they hit a dip, and then a bump, and then a dip. And that's all it took. The car started to do a side-over-side. Tommy Butler saw which side of the bread the butter was on, and he dove from the car at that point.
Oh, my God. How fast was the car going?
Probably in excess of 90, maybe 100 miles an hour. But Butler saw no choice at all. He went ahead and made his move.
This kid dove from the car. Well, at least it was a convertible.
No, but they had the top up. They had the top up, and Butler had to cut that plastic window out of the back, crawl out on the back, and then dive, you know?
Oh, man, are you kidding me? I'm listening to this story. That's about as messed up as it can ever get.
Well, that's what happened.
Wait, I gotta ask you. They're screaming ass down Foothill Boulevard with the top up.
Oh, yeah, the top was up. Well, it had to be up.
Why, was it, like, raining?
No, it was the middle of summer, but they couldn't get it down. It was stuck. They wanted to take a nice moonlit drive together. I realize it sounds odd, just being guys in the car, but that's how they felt about each other, and it wasn't sexual. They were very good friends, but they couldn't get the top down, and apparently that pissed off Chesbro, and that's when he floored it.
All right, so they're flooring it. This guy Chesbro sounds like he was he's still alive.
Oh, yeah, watch how you're talking about him.
Yeah, Jack Chesbro owns Mr. Pooh.
All right, back the phone off, will you?
Sorry. Jack Chesbro owns Mr. He's a very good guy. He owns that club, and his brother owns the Pooh. His brother owns the Pooh Casino out in the desert.
How many of these places are there, anyway?
Well, like I say, they have a chain, and then they also have an interest in an Indian with an Indian, you know?
What do you mean they got an interest with an Indian?
He's talking about Indian gaming?
Yeah, the Pooh Casino out near the Chickachunka. I forget the name of the tribe, but it starts with Chick and it ends with Wonga or something.
Oh, yeah, the Chickawanga.
No, it ain't.
Well, who cares what it is, okay? Finish the story here, this story.
All right. Well, anyway, they hit the... Well, now, Tommy Butler, or Tommy Pasota says, holy Jesus, I got to get out of here. He takes out a switchblade knife and starts cutting the plastic out of the rear window of the convertible. The car begins to go side over side. He crawls out onto the back trunk, looks back, blows a kiss, and leaps. And what happened to him? Well, he broke his leg, but the other guys... You don't want to know, man. It took the jaws of life. They had to cut. And the Butler brothers, they were sealed together in a pit of their own filth.
That is about as goofball a story as I've ever heard. And very tragic. Was anyone killed?
No, thank God no one was killed. Everyone's fine. Jack, you know, a doubter, does he still walk with the cane?
Yeah, he's got a Wolverine cane, man, and everything. It's pretty bitchin'. And when he walks around with it, he's got a werewolf and everything.
What do you mean a werewolf? It was like a silver cane?
Yeah, it's got a... And Jack Chasbro is the owner of Mr. Pooh's. He's a great guy, and everybody loves him, and it was all a big misunderstanding.
Yeah. What are you talking about? All right, well, thanks a lot, Jeff. Well,
wait, I want...
And why did he get cut off, but I can still hear his tub?
I think the bathtub called in separately.
Get out of here. All right. By the way, block the bathtub's number, but I do want to have...
Okay.
Is this Rick Derringer?
No, this is Johnny Winter again.
Oh, would you get off the albino kick and get with a white...
You were going to say get with a white man.
Well, no, I'd like to hear a black man now.
All right, folks, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you very... Jesus. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Thank you very much, Nikki, for helping us out tonight, as usual. And we will catch you guys tomorrow night. Don't forget, we are live on the Webster on Monday starting at 9 a.m. A live show each and every morning, 9 to 11, and the podcast dropping the same day. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Later.